through the section on December 24th. I made the racetrack a fast 3-day that day at Hollywood Park, which means that this 109 and 1 that you see becomes 109 and 4. Par for that major is 110 and 3, which says this race is fast 4 compared to what the majors ought to run. I want you to do something else. Now go back to your cover sheet for just a moment and look at the sprint times and tell me at what level in the non-claiming bracket, which means the top bunch on that page, that 109 and 4 fits. Okay, now this is a maiden race we're looking at. Do you suppose, and he hasn't run back yet, so this is clearly a horse to watch. What do you suppose all the power, what are his chances in a non-winners with one?
Very good.
He's already earned better than a non-winners with one, and that's his, supposedly his next stop. Although I understand there's a very good chance of being in the Santa Catalina Stakes. Now let's look at the second finisher in here, who I set out as a horse to watch. I mean, you know, since you're adding it now. But I set out Knight Regent.
Knight Request, though.
And I didn't put enough on it so you had to know that it was Gary Jones and what race it was at. But I did put the wrong name down. Now, Knight Regent beats the third horse by 7, getting beat 2 lengths in a race that we rated as fast four. This is wrong here. Fast four. Now, does that say Knight Regent belongs with maidens in his next start?
Yeah, certainly does.
And he won by the length of the stretch, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now, he's a great singleton in anything you were doing. Pick 6 or whatever, pick 9. He really was a great singleton. Now, in his next start, he earned a figure that would win an hour's and 2. So he's, and then he'll be in an hour's and 1 next time. Now, that's what you're looking for. Let's go down to the next race.
Live, ready to win, speedsters.
Let's look at In Toto. In Toto's race, in $20,000, was 142 and 2, I think, down there. All right, makes the track on a slow 2 track, that becomes 142 flat. Now, please look back onto that part-time chart. Tell me where 142 flat fits.
Just between.
Yes, it does. But he puts it up in classified allowance. Now, I sent him out as a horse to watch. We all know that he didn't win his next start very easily.
Twice.
But I got to tell you, when he won his next start, when he came down to, I think, did I mention this earlier? Was it the class?
Yeah, no, he was a horse to watch early in the.
Then I kind of put a negative comment on him in the next start. And he won again, but he was in all of a sudden in 4 bandages off of this next one. But the point is, off of this race, he came back and won easily next time out, 142 and 4, I think.
Yeah.
Well, there's what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
He is that was too fast. That's what
it was staggering, although he didn't stagger in this one.
He had Velasquez in this one. He didn't have the drum.
Wasn't he a horse to watch in September, October, for Bay Meadows?
Yes, he was. I put him out as a horse to watch when he started this streak. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's right. I put him out earlier, too. Okay. Nobody else in that race worth playing with, you know, because remember what I said, that this is another good example. When I said you've got a runaway winner, you often have the worst horse in the field picking up the second spot. And you have the longest price in the field by 10 cents picking up the second spot in this race. I wouldn't put him out as a horse to watch, not when he come in against a runaway winner like that.
You should play these.
That's a good point, though. I've never seen
the. Seventh race, pardon?
I was out of town for that race, but I remember Dr. Valier from earlier in the year was like, came in second, some other race, the top AP&E horse. He probably still is in this one.
Yeah, he might be, because he ran second over.
I think he was, I think I handicapped that, right?
He was a top AP&E
horse.
He ran second to Dennis D. Okay, the next race now, so far we haven't been able to add anything new to the horses to watch list. We will in the next race now. Seventh race on January 7th. The variant that day, even though this race was run in 110 and 1, I made slow 4. Now, when I say adjusted time 109 and I'm not sure what I put, but it's actually 109 and 2. You might want to change that. I was working from two sets of variants during this, there are a couple of variants. I was using my Racing News Network variant and my Sarton variant. And I kind of mixed apples and oranges, and I apologize to them. So I get 109 and 2. The par is 109 and 4. Now, immediately, this race is too fast. 2 points fast, 2 lengths fast. And that's a sign right away. Let's take a look at this race for a minute. The horse that won the race, Bright and Right, that was his second huge effort after a long layoff. Now, one of two things happened to him in his next start. He either bounced off those two good efforts and ran poorly, or he didn't handle a racetrack because he ran into mud in his next start. One of those two things happened to the horse. But look at Superb Moment, the third finisher. In his very next start, Superb Moment goes 44-1, 108-4. At the $50,000 level, as I recall, he dropped a level. Yeah. No, that was on Dry Track. It was on a dry track.
Promise. He finished third.
It was on a day one. Bright ran on the muddy track. Superb Moment ran on a perfectly dry race.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Superb Moment's race?
It was last Monday.
It was last Monday. It was pouring rain.
I had tickets on it. It wasn't pouring rain, but it was muddy.
It was very muddy. It was hard as a rock, and it was very fast.
What day?
Monday.
Martin Luther King.
What's the
day?
Yeah, but I don't think the rain soaked in that day, Dick, because those times all day were very fast.
I'm sorry.
It did not play like a crying out track.
No, he is right. The racetrack was officially labeled muddy. One thing we're doing for Racing News Network is making our own call for the racetrack. And we labeled that racetrack fast.
Yes.
It was
fast. You're probably more
very fast
I think we were too now, but that's why I'm confused because I have that track labeled fast.
I was looking for a drying out track and I got killed.
That's right. And a few horses had mud caulks on, a few horses did not, and it didn't matter one way or the other.
Now that track had been sealed.
It sure had.
Absolutely. Fair and muddy.
Okay, let's talk. Yes, but we labeled it fast. Let's get away from that. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. That's 108-4. Now, in and of itself, let me make the rest of the point before I answer any questions. 108-4 in and of itself, that can't stand alone, because if all of the races were run seven fast that day, 108-4 means nothing. But 1 hour after that race, a classified allowance race was run in which Farrell, Jamoke, and several other decent classified allowance types were in, right? They go 44-4, I think, 109-3, 1 hour later. Now, does that make the Superb Moment race stand out? It really does. And I only made the track, I think, one fast that day. Now, that means an adjusted 109 flat for Superb Moment.
Yeah. Anyway, don't you have to... You know, like sometimes, like that race started out fast, but maybe the track just slows up for the entire day and gets slower and slower and slower.
If anything was getting faster,
it didn't. And I'll tell you why. Because when I made the grade for the ninth race, it just supported the rest of the car. But it can't happen because occasionally we see the variance change a little bit during the day.
Kermit said that was the fastest 6 furlongs of the meet.
It was. Let me tell you where this horse is going, which lends some support to all of this. The next time you see Superb Moment, according to his trainer, at least at the moment, the next time you see Superb Moment, he will be in the El Canevo Stakes in 5.5 row. At the present time, there is not a horse that would run in that stakes that can outrun him at the moment. Because he's going to run against High and Bright. He's going to run against horses like that are pretty, he'll go Scampered. Some of the horses that are kind of proven losers right now. Because the El Canevo does not draw on the line and horses of that caliber. So that's where Superb Moment's going to be, and he's going to be, I'm telling you now, put him on your horses to watch him. Because that's where you're going to see him next. And there aren't many horses on the grounds right now that can go 44-1. And that's what he did here.
Think you're looking at a price there?
You might get a price because he's coming out of a $50,000 claim. Mm. Yeah, Quipstar ought to be a horse to watch out of that too. In fact, I did that on my horse to watch this, didn't I?
Yes.
I made Quipstar horse to watch also. He made a menacing move around the turn. Right. Just Superb Moment was not going to be beaten by anybody around that day. Now, let's stay with this race for a moment. Armin, who finished, first of all, put a circle around Vermont because he won. Now look at Armin, who ran fifth in that race, closing a lot of ground to be beaten 1 3/4 length. Now if you're familiar with Armin, he ran a lights out race on Friday. Managed to get the lead in that mile and go right up until very late in the race before Armin's policy got him, and he ran 1:35.1. Now that lends a little more support to this race even. The horse that you're also adding to your horses to watch list off of that, anybody make the observation yet? Tell me who you really want on your horses to watch list out of this race. Damn right, J.R. Johnson.
Sure.
J.R. Johnson, and I'll tell you, in this particular race, I had played Bright and Right in this race, and I also played it with that guy in Las Vegas, the bets for me. And J.R. Johnson was terrifying because he really ran well, and he went wide, and he was really going for the wire. And I, to the very end of the race, I wasn't sure what he was going to do. And he ran a huge race in here. So, you're looking for J.R. Johnson out of that race? You're also looking at Super Moment out of that race. Yes?
Now, Super Moment. Good old Kurt Mooney, he's run quite a few times down here. He always gives a good effort. Always seems to run about the same race. He's always up there. He always seems to run with the race. Why that 1.084 is so great? How do you explain it? It almost seems like he may not be able to do again.
He may not. But again, I'm gonna suggest to you that you trust where the trainer's. It's like good days. What's the trainer gonna do with him next? Now, if the trainer's already convinced he's going to put him in the El Conejo Stakes, what does that tell you about the condition of that horse coming out of this race? He's better than he's ever been. He's always been had the makings of a very good horse because he's so honest. And he's got a good turn of speed. And he's always had the potential. And apparently, now this is the same guy. This is Marcus Murphy. Now Marcus Murphy trains a horse called Foreign Legion. Now you can say the same thing about Foreign Legion because he got him for like 40.
Yep.
And or maybe less than that. And look what he's doing now. He goes up north and he wins the stakes up there. And he wins a classified allowance race down here before he goes. Right. He's a hell of a fine young trainer. So, Marcus Murphy's telling us right now, if he were standing up here, he'd say, I'm going to put him in the El Conejo Stakes because he's so good. Now, do with it what you will. And you'll have the figures to support
it. I'm just curious if anyone else using Synergism has had the same experience with a Superb Moment that I have. I can't get that. I know the horse comes up great. I do the match play. The last two times, he just doesn't stand out when I run him.
Is anyone else side by side with him?
Has anyone else experienced that with Superb Moment, just specifically?
Okay, did anybody handicap Superb Moment his last race when he won after this one?
Yeah, I had him.
Yeah, he came up 1-1-1.
Yeah. With Synergism?
With Synergism, I used it.
Really?
Previous track.
All right, because I'll tell you with my variance, he came up 1 across.
Yeah. No, I know he did.
Okay.
As I recall, actually, I think he, I don't know that he had tremendous, he might have been a 1-1-3, but we were playing early
right. Base. Okay, well, he came up exceedingly strong with a variant attached to it. Now, that's one of the, if you're going to make your own variants, right. Make them. It's superior to using an automatic, I don't care if it's Synergies or anything else, it's superior to making an automatic variant, because all of a sudden, if you take an automatic variant, right, and you get several horses that all ran really well,
right.
Now, and you put an automatic variant on them, they're all going to come up pretty close, aren't they? You're going to get a lot of ties back to W.
Yeah.
On the other hand, suppose one of those horses ran in a race like this that comes up the next race where he runs 109, right?
Right?
If you're using a Meridian variant or some kind of variant like that, he may look just like the other horses that ran well against the pace.
Right.
But if you're using a true variant that you've made, you can trust, and you put that in there, all of a sudden the gap in factor W is like 0.50.
Well, yeah, that was real obvious.
It's the opposite. You know, we always tell you, don't put in a slow horse.
Right.
But don't put in a real fast horse. Because it would tear that fast horse down. It's bad.
Right.
If you have a horse that's a second and a half or 2 seconds faster than anything else in the race, and you think it's legit, you're done with your handicap.
Right.
And you have no reason, because the same reason that Ultra Scan predicts Lulia or Synergism will build up that slow horse, it'll tear down the fast horse. Using Tom's variant, you don't have that problem.
Right.
But you have to have a little feel for an automatic adjustment that way. When you see a horse that is getting an enormous mileage, you have to say, does it deserve an enormous mileage? If the answer is no, turn off the machine.
Day in and day out, it might be kind of a push. You know, winner here, winner here, winner here, winner here, winner here. Right. And yet, every once in a while, well, you say that I can absolutely
there was the house on there. The reason I brought it up, because I used the variance. I mean, I sort of just okayed the field for it. But that race was superb. Your variance were so, I mean, they were on point. And there were some other horses that were moving from 40,000 and up in that same exact race where, you know, it was just clear that the variants were on point that race. And Synergism gave you like an 18-to-1 shot, a 7-to-1 shot, with similar numbers to Superb Moment, and you said, well, gee, you know, I'll go with the other ones, you know, just for the hell of it.
And you'd be right. It was weird. Right every once in a while.
I guess I probably took the wrong pace line.
When you set up the race, set it up with a faster time, don't put the slower time.
Yeah, I might have taken a different pace line.
Undoubtedly. Because it did come up like tough. But it was not that strong on top. When we look back at the numbers, we said, wait a minute, this horse, we bet this horse to win all by itself and in one way exactus.
Right.
And it was very profitable. But I just consider this horse such a standout,
right,
taken from this race.
Yeah.
That's the one you were dealing with.
This is the one we were dealing with. And you just looked at it and you said, we just knew that Synergism was killing it. Particularly because the other horses in the race weren't that hot. So that's one where you put a star by that horse's name and you start handicapping for play.
Yeah, that was a specific race.
And it just leads you back to the whole reason for making variants. Because on the surface, this race is 45, 110, and 1. You look at that and say, geez, the track must have been just about right that day. Yet, it was slow 4.
Right.
Okay. The next race. Won't do you any good to add this to your horse's watch list, and I'll tell you why in a moment. The adjusted time is 109.4 with a variant of 0. Far as 110.1 for non-winners of 1, which says that when this horse won this, he could have won a non-winners of 2 at the same time. Gary Jones was really high on this horse, was talking about the big races for 3-year-olds, and unfortunately, there's a bone chip in this horse. So you never see it. So it won't do us any good to add it.
Overbrook,
yeah. But this was a very powerful race. Now, Grand Musico ran very well in here, but unfortunately, that was about his 4th race in 20 days or something. Mm-hmm. They're really racing the hell out of him. Probably the best thing that could happen to him is to give him a little time off.
Yeah.
Let's go turn the page. Now, this next one is kind of a remarkable win here. This was kind of a nice situation if anybody handicapped this race. It was absolutely zero. And I mean zero speed in this race. No early speed, no early pace whatsoever, except for little 3. Now, if you look at him, though, he ran fairly legitimate fractions, 47, 111, and 3. And then he winds up running 149 and 1. Now, the variant was fast 2, which makes that 49, 149 and 3 against a far of 150 and 3 for that level.
Did you knock him down to 2 lengths instead of 8?
No, you only do that when you're making a variant. Now he gets the 8.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the variant's made for it in this case. So he's 5 better than par. Now what happened to him in his next start? He was forced into some very fast fractions and then drew away.
Drew off.
He did. Now I got to tell you, he also exceeded par that day. And at the moment, I still have him on my horses to watch list. So he might want to do the same thing. Now there was a lot of talk at the racetrack that day about, here's Move 3, you've got almost two years worth of races on him, how come the horse hasn't routed? Has he ever routed before? Well, somebody had a piece of information out there that in 1985 he was a very good router. And that solved a lot of problems for a lot of people. That was a very good price. And the last time he ran, he paid 5 to win, 440 to place.
Yeah.
And the worst horse, just about the worst horse in the field, when he ran off that day, one of the worst horses in the field wound up finishing second.
How can you get that worst horse in
I'm not going somewhere else to get that. What I'm saying that makes a great case for a wheel on some of these horses because so often.
Yeah, that's
that
what I was trying to say is that if you've got a horse that figures to be able to run off, which. He didn't. I mean,
I'm not going to tell you how to get there because I don't know how to get there. All I'm doing is it's a phenomenon that repeats itself. Well, we've already seen it about 3 times just in the stuff that we've learned. Just repeats. Because the horses are capable of winning the race, they do try to win the race, and then they're dead.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. When Landon Lucy won the Lassie Stakes by 32 lengths,
The absolute worst horse in the field, as my knowledge, never did run a decent race after that, was the horse that finished second. Because the horses that were trying to keep up with it were all cut. This horse comes plodding along in second, got the biggest price on the board, and to my knowledge, never won another race. I mean, the horse disappeared. Let's look at the next race. This one was a heartbreaker for me. You'll see why in a few moments, because we're going to put look at why this was a heartbreaker. I played Have an Affair in here.
So did I.
And fortunately, hey, because it had an enormous pace figure, early pace figure, sure. Enormous. And ran a super race here, just got beat by a better horse.
Well, I bet it's a better place. I see
this
better.
Lively one might really be a nice horse. Let's look at this. The variant zero, adjusted time 111, 143 and one, par 111.2, 143 and three. So this race is too fast already. Which means Have an Affair, set the pace, and ran to the wire in par time for Now Winners of One. So it ran a race good enough to win a Now Winners of One here. Which means that if it appears in a Now Winners of One next time, it's already run well enough to win one of those, right? That's the logic we're using. Plus, look at a gap between Have an Affair and the rest of the field.
7.5.
And again, he was the pace setter. The only horse that had a chance to get him, damn it, got him.
Yeah.
You know, exactly was still fair the other way, but it wasn't nearly what it would have been for a hit.
Tom, as I recall, I did cash a ticket in this, but I think in my queue I also played who ran a lot worse than I thought. Is there something I overlooked, or is that just...
Yeah, because I left him out of my... the problem with J-Train is that he was able to go wire to wire on a 112 flat pace. The day he won his major race. Okay, he went wire to wire and he's going 112. Have an Affair was capable of going less than 111 if he got really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so now is J-Train going to be anywhere near the lead? I guess it was yesterday's class. When those maidens step up, you got to make sure there aren't any holes in those early fractions. Because the overall figure might be fine. But you got to be sure that they haven't got any weaknesses early. And J Trade had more over.
Okay.
Why is that race not adjusted? 143.1, 143.1?
Because the variant was zero that day. I said the variant was zero. See, I computed the variant already and just told you what it was for the day.
These are all different days.
These are all different days, yeah. That's just the race that we picked out. Now, from that race, we make Have an Affair a horse to watch. And he's running today up there in that El Camino Stakes for some reason.
Up in Bay Meadows.
Yeah. But we have him designed. Those of you that are, we talked about this a little earlier, those of you that are using horses to watch less will remember a couple of weeks ago that I put two horses from the same race on the sheet, right? Savio and Courage Rule.
Right.
Okay, but with Savio, somebody was reminding me out there, I said, this horse has got some back class and can step up. They stepped him up a level and he won again at 3 or 4-1, right? Mm-hmm. On Curry's Ruler, I said, he belongs at 20 or 16. They stepped him up out of that race also. And what he did is he just ran evenly. He got beat about 5 lengths and he was 5 behind all the way around. Then guess what they did? They dropped him to 16 and he won for fun.
Yeah, at a decent mutual pace.
Yeah, but he was like 7-2 with about 4 minutes to go.
I know.
He's got a ticket on him. All right. Good. Yeah, he won very nicely that day.
I mean, that's a horse that... Well, I met one of the other people from the group at Circus that morning, and I said, I thought the Courage Ruler was going to be like 8-5 in the morning line, and he was 7-2 in the morning line. Surprised me.
He really ran super, and when he was off... By the time we got to that race, it was pretty obvious he was a trainer. And just giving him one more race before he dropped him when he knew he quit. I mean, I guess they don't do that as much as they at one time. You know, it used to be that that's what they do. They race him over the head to drop him. And it looks like he just gave him an easier race and then dropped him where he belongs. Okay. The point I'm making is that on this one, we would call Have an Affair, and we want Have an Affair in a numbers of one. Okay, so as far as the El Camino stakes today, maybe a side bet or something if you really like him that well. But what we're looking for is a non-winners of one, in which there's no speedball that's going to really hurt you. He'll handle most pace situations. So that's what we want, Have an Affair, non-winners of one. We also make Lively one a horse to watch out of this. Because he ran 2 lengths better than par, which means he's already won as well as the next run, as well as the next level required. He's going to be a nice horse because he ran down a horse that was really digging in and trying here, and he got by him anyway. Lively went is scheduled to run in a stakes this weekend. But let me tell you something about that stakes race. This race right here, the day before, Please Remit won a minor stakes for three-year-olds, right? This race came up about 2 points or three lengths better than a race that was run the day before as a stakes race. So he's already, the horses that he'll probably face in this stakes race, he's already run better than him. Ninth race. Now we're not dealing with figures anymore. We're dealing with looking at the charts. Look at this race. Romantic Jet wins it. Thank heavens. That was a 1-1-1 for us, I think, or a 1-2-1, something like that on our numbers.
No, 4-1s.
Four ones across, okay.
Yeah.
And the horse that runs second in here, that keyed this big exact there, we're going to talk about how that was a horse to watch even before this. And that's what keys this 509. The read the running line on Prophet Island, recognizing that this horse breaks from a 10 post at a mile. So that means one step out of the gate practically, they're negotiating a turn.
Yeah.
Prophet far back and five wide into the clubhouse turn. Remember when we talked about trouble last summer, I guess it was? Yeah. We were talking about the wide comet. The most serious place you can get that wide comet, and especially if you're five wide, is in the clubhouse turn, because everybody's so fresh, there isn't anybody giving up at that time. So if you're five wide, you've got to really run to get around that turn. And this horse was, again, looking into the part of the east parking lot up there, and she was very wide. But then look what she did here. She says, battled for command through the drive and lost a close decision. So she goes five wide around the first turn, and I'll tell you, she was three or four wide around the second turn also. But you've got to observe that. But the first one is enough to really give her a push. And she gets beat of Nick. Pardon? Did you? I had the Romantic Jet, but I had it two Romantic, I mean, Prophet Island. Now, in all honesty, Romantic Jet got blocked also and had to be snatched to the outside at the last drive. But when it was all over, I was kind of sure that Prophet Island should have won her race.
Yeah.
So I thought I was very grateful.
Given the move that Romantic Jet made, would you make him her a horse to watch out of this race?
No, and I'll tell you why. When it was over, I was sure that Prophet Island was the better of the two horses, just because of the trip she had. Plus, Romantic Jet got lover, I mean, because this was really a major hit. Romantic Jet, after she got blocked, she was snatched to the outside, and I got to tell you, she was punished to get to the wire. She was like a bulldog to get to the wire. Now, she wins the race, so she'll come up as a winner next time, right? They're in against one another today. Prophet Island and Romantic Jet. And of the two, I think I would probably lean toward Prophet Island. But Romantic Jet may come up good on the numbers. She's just one you would handicap maybe on top next time. But as far as putting her as a horse to watch, when they win, unless the figure is really outstanding, you may not want to put them on your horses to watch list, unless there was something really about her. She's a nice, tough filly, but she's stepping up again, too. Yeah.
When Romantic Jet, prior to this race, and had won by four lengths on a track that was really not very kind, early speed, it was sort of dull and it was still drying out. Was she on your horses to watch list from that race? Or
she wasn't on my horses to watch list.
Because, I mean, she really improved a lot from her to that race. And that's, but I was really impressed with her prior race because she ran.
Yeah, but it didn't knock out par by any great amount.
No.
Plus, she had an easy trip that day. I mean, even though it might not have been favoring speed, she was running behind and then easily moved to the lead and
right.
It was all over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you do that and you say, everybody's going to see that. If they bring her back at what level you would expect her back at, she'll be heavily bet.
Yeah.
So turns out, they stepped her up, I think, two levels, if I'm not mistaken. And she's sitting in here with big numbers. Well, you bet her from the big numbers, not necessarily from horses to watch.
Right.
Not that you might not want to do that on your own. I'm just, what we're doing here is going through an exercise. You'll make calls that I won't make, and I'll make calls that you won't make.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And Romantic Jet would have been right at home on somebody's horses to watch list off of her previous race. Okay. The next race.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look. You could also make a little case for Tantulia being a horse to watch out of this race. The only problem with Tantulia as a horse to watch is that she was being dropped here. You know, and you don't want to see a young horse drop necessarily. Plus, every time she's ever run, she's attracted a lot of money. So that kind of horse, you really don't need any horses to watch this. If she handicaps on top, player. Let's go to the other race. Now this one's an interesting race because there's a horse to watch that you folks had for me in this race. And that's Jacqueline and Hyde. Now Jacqueline and Hyde had improved a ton in her previous race. She really looked great on the racetrack. She is really looking good. Unfortunately, this guy decides that she won so easily at 16, I want to put her in for 32. And when she moves in against 32, that nine-length win is only about 34th best in the race. She no longer has the kind of figure you would expect her to have.
Also, wasn't she back awfully fast, second race off the layoff?
Well, she might have been back
fast. The first thing I ever learned about handicapping was that if a horse runs a good race first off a layoff, it's probably going to be sore. You don't want it.
Yes, sometimes. Sometimes. So there is such a thing as bouncing. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. Now, in this case, like the other day with My Virginia Reel, all the static we got around the racetrack about that horse being back too soon, that was trained by Lazaro Barrera. If I'm not mistaken, this is trained by Gary Lewis. For me, I'd be a little more nervous. I mean, not that the guy's the worst trainer on the grounds, but on the other hand, you don't have the same kind of faith. I'm not willing to put my money on his judgment like I would on Lazaro Barrera or Gary Jones. So probably she did come back too soon, Claudia. But look at the running line on her. She was in a field that she didn't figure to be able to get the lead anyway. Champagne Gold turns around and runs the fastest fraction she's ever run in her entire life. She had been claimed out of her last race, in which she looked terrible. She didn't finish well or anything, and she comes out and runs 21-2-44-2. And understandably, she didn't come home too fast, but there was no effective late speed in this race. Look at Jacqueline Hyde's line. Out run early, wide down the back stretch, came into the stretch five wide, and liked to need a breath. And yet, runs fourth, so she beats seven horses at the $32,000 level, or six horses at the $32,000 level after a horrible trip. She is still a horse to watch. And as far as my own, if I were doing my own statistics on horses to watch list, she'd still be 0-0 as far as I'm concerned, because she would not have been live in this situation. She's still live on your list, so don't hold a grudge against her because she ran very well. Add her to the horses to watch list.
But wouldn't you want her to see her maybe one level lower or something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she still would be in her own place if they brought her back to 32.
Right. Okay.
I had Champagne Gold that day because when I went over all the figures, the first and second calls that he had run, or that she had run previously, were better than anybody else in there.
Yeah, I think she was a number one earlier. Yeah.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Because I had watched her run her previous race and she just looked so bad. But she's never run this. I mean, this, obviously the guy did some good with her. She's never run a 21-2 in her entire life. And she's never run a 44-2. So she managed to put up. There must have been six front runners in this race and she put them all away.
Tom?
Yeah, in terms of the phrase bouncing, we're probably good because the sheets depends a lot on that concept. And we've incorporated that obviously into form cycle. When you look at a horse, and we also like to sometimes look at the most recent line on a horse, just to get an idea. When you look at a horse, we'll be looking obviously at form cycles to see what he's done at least in the past 10 races, and our knowledge of the trainers, if we have some knowledge of the trainers. Do you have any other possible general overall comments of guidelines, like on a horse that did an outstanding race last time, and maybe now you see a drop in class that would make you suspicious? Any overall comments on bouncing? Because it's obviously going to.
This was the subject again yesterday.
It's going to be something.
It's right in. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes because we're going to cover a race that the horse came out of the race and was absolutely eligible to bounce. We called it correctly at the racetrack. So we'll get to that because there is absolutely substance to this term bounce. It's a fact of life.
And is that why they've had some success on this?
Okay. But the thoroughbred statement on Valiant Cougar, that bouncing isn't, I'm not sure how valid that is. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time. If the horse ran its best race last time, if the horse stepped up or left at the same level, I'll tend to trust that as the horse having come out well. Bouncing is a little different than that, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. In the case of Valiant Cougar, had he run poorly last time, he would have regressed. The term bounce has a little different connotation. Let's look at this Wednesday, December 30th. That's the next page. Five. Let me tell you something about the racetrack. There's a three-day period. You're up. You can go back to your charts and catch the other day. I'm only doing two of them there. December 30th, 31st, 1st, and the 2nd also to some extent. If you were a front runner an early pace time during this 4 days while the track was drying back out, you had almost no chance. Horses were getting very solid. Early pace types, pressure types, were getting to the lead at the eighth pole and then managing to lose to the closers, and some of which had or you couldn't put a case for them no matter how hard you worked after the race.
Last fraction.
Last fraction would explain some of them. Some of them you can't even get at that. Trevor Denman during that period of time must have called, must have revised his call a half a dozen times in a stretch, because what would happen, he'd say, a good example was Bundle of Iron running strongly on the lead, and Bundle of Iron fight, and then all of a sudden he says, and here comes Silver Express. He did that with Bundle of Iron, he did that with Pine Tree Lane, he did that with, I don't know how many horses, he would say, reaching down for more, running strongly inside the 8th floor, all of a sudden, you know, he was about to say, go to the window. And then all of a sudden, which that's part of, I like Trevor Denman, and I disagree on that, but that's one thing I don't like about him. He dwells so much on that going to the window and all the rest of that, and if you're not watching, if you happen to be listening to in your car, you haven't a clue as to who's running behind them. What the Clydesdales are running behind them?
Yeah, because they're not going to the window.
You're right.
Your race qualifying.
That's right. Here we go.
Better with every spry.
Now, one of the there is a phenomenon that's associated with this type of a racetrack. At Santa Anita, when you're trying to cash in against a bias, the only one you can effectively cash in on is a closer's bias, an anti-early pace bias. The reason you can't really capitalize on an early pace bias by betting closers next time is because Santa Anita invariably is favoring early pace. So you can say that a horse ran well against an early pace bias, but you may never find another spot at the meeting to bet that horse. But if you find a strong, sustained pace bias, which we had a couple last year, January 9th and 10th of last year was a great example, because horses that were coming back after that and a challenge bias ran well. But if you find them running well against a closer's bias, you find early pace types. They run very well, and you get to catch those for weeks after the bias ends. The line you're looking for, because you have one more day to do if you want to really get all of it, that's the 1st of January when you go back to the privacy of your own rooms. The kind of line you're running, or looking for, will be ran well against the pace, challenged for the lead, could not keep up with the winner in closing strides. That's one. You find a horse that is first or second, into the stretch, maybe draws out a little bit, and then wilts some in that last stretch, in that last eighth of a mile. That's the kind of line you're looking for. Those are horses that will look challenged by closer's bias. So let's take a look at this race. The advantage you're getting here is that horses that challenge that bias invariably are stronger in their next start. I think it does them a lot of good conditioning-wise. The term is legging them up. And I think it does them a lot of good things. One of the great examples is in the very first page here. December 30th, 1987. This is the first horse, I think, that we cashed out of that bias. Bonda Green comes back at the same level, $10,000 in his next start, figuring to clear the field again, and he comes out of this race in which he drew off to the half, was still running in the stretch, and this time wilts, right? Now, he's been wilting all the time, but he hasn't been carrying it that far. But this time he does it, based on his previous races, you would have expected him to wilt before they ever hit the stretch. Not this day. He carries it deep into the stretch before they beat it. What does he do in his next start? He airs.
By miles.
And he didn't slow down in the least. I mean, he was still drawing off when he hit the wire last time. Unfortunately, he got bent down to 2-1 in the last minutes. It was like 7-2, 4-1 all the way through.
6-80 is what he paid.
And then people began to really hammer him in the last. I mean, people are not stupid out there. But they nevertheless, he wins easy, right? This is the kind of horse you're looking for. Take a look at the second, the sixth race here, which is the second one on the sheet. The horse that I have circled here, Davies Market, is coming out of a... This horse had routed several times. He had a little stamina before he got advantage of the bias to win this race. But the horse that challenged the bias is Nathan Native. And I would add Nathan Native, based on that running line you're looking at, Knight had the early advantage, had a clear lead with a furlong remaining, but could not outfinish the winner. Now you're going to find 8 and 80 against maiden 50s. If it drops to maiden 32, it's even stronger.
Keep going.
Go to the 7th race. Surprisingly, Golden Gauntlet is the horse to watch out of this. Because if you look at what he did there, he made a big move on the turn to go to the lead, and he went to the lead too early for that racetrack. Horses that were getting to the lead that soon were not surviving, what?
He's came back and he's won again.
He's won since, yeah. Uh-huh. He was
they
on the horse
for the turf yesterday, but he didn't make it in.
Okay. But he did. He came back out of the stadium of world again because he came back and ran more impressively against a much better field the next time. Golden Gauntlet would have been a horse to watch because he hit the lead and then he went on and challenged the bias the rest of the way to the racetrack and actually drew away. It's a very strong race because it was hurting horses that were in the lead that early. Look at, this isn't a whole lot of horse, but nevertheless, this is the kind of horse you're looking for, is Cheyenne Tropic.
He's running today.
Is he running today?
Okay. Yeah.
Look at Cheyenne Tropic's performance. He's leading at the quarter. Golden Gauntlet comes up to get him. He's still 2.5 lengths clear of the rest of the field at the 8th pole, and he doesn't wilt much after that. He runs 4th. That's a direct challenge to that bias. So now make Cheyenne Tropic a member of that stable.
He's also dropping, I think, to 40 today. So
that would make him tougher, probably.
He's going to be dynamite on that.
You think so, off this race? Yeah. Okay. No idea what his numbers are. We're not dealing with numbers right here. We're looking for a certain pattern that repeats itself. Look at the next race. There's a horse in here called Now Now Nicole that challenged the bias. But what you have to understand about Now Now Nicole, the only good races she ever runs are in the mud. The horse that actually challenged the bias, we're too late with this horse now, is Do You Mind. Do You Mind is clear at the quarter, she's clear at the half. She's still fighting for the lead after 3/4. She's still not badly beaten in the stretch, and finally she wilts to 8. Now that's a direct challenge to the bias. Now everybody know what she did in the next start? She's going to beat a neck at 9-1. Ran super. Came from slightly off the pace to get to the lead, and then got outfinished by the runner. But that's what they tend to do. They come back and run much improved races after they challenge for the lead. I'm not suggesting you add her to your horses to watch this because we missed the opportunity to catch her. This is the kind of horse you're pulling. Let's go another page. Here's my, and now this next race is going to tell you why I love having a fairly open deck. And he ran sensational. Unfortunately, he was in against Lively. This mile race on Thursday, December 31st. Look at the fractional times on this race. 22-2. 46 flat. And then forget the rest of the time because that horse had used himself by then. Look what he does here on a track that is killing early pace. He goes out in 46. And when Grand Musico got by him, which was also premature, and he looked like the winner until the last 30 yards, and Please Remit got by him. Please Remit came out of this to win a stakes race. Grand Musico came out to run 2nd. But the horse that you want to put on your horses to watch list here is Have an Affair. Which we've already done. This is the kind of horse you're trying to pull. Now you might also make a little case for Alan Vaughn. Alan Vaughn, I guess.
Alan Vaughn.
Yeah, you might make a case for that because that horse is also going through a 22-2 and a 46. And if you look down at the 9th race, which was carded for $50,000 older females, their fraction was 48-something. So this race was run very fast. Now, Alan Vaughn was also coming out of a claiming race, so you might see that horse back in a claiming race. Okay, but we already added Have an Affair, so that the pattern is what I'm pointing out here. Let's take a look at the 4th race. 2 horses out of this race. One of the horses you've already missed, folks, unless you were handicapping, because it also came up as the number one figure horse that day, If you're using the Meredith. Lots of curiosity. Look what this horse did. You called me on that, Jim. I talked to you on that.
Yeah. Did I? Okay. Yeah.
Lots of curiosity. Challenged the bias. Not only challenged it, beat the hell out of it, didn't it? Drew off here. Comes back against winners in its next start. Wins by 6.5 to face $37.
Oh, yeah, and he had a huge number that race.
Also came up as the number one Factor W.
He was a dead fit for the mile.
The number two Factor W horse in that race was
Mimetsky.
And exactly paid $470 cold one way if you wanted it. But anyway, the point is here, lots of curiosity against an early pace bias, anti-early pace bias, challenges the bias, draws out, wins easy, and then guess what he gets to do next time? This race has a tentative. Wins by 6.5 to face 37. That's exactly why I'm encouraging you to read your charts and do this type of work. Now, the other horse I have on my horses to watch list that I suggest putting on you, on yours, is No Stopping. The horse that ran third. When you realize what Lost Curiosity wound up doing out of this race, and this horse is the one that was challenging him through three quarters of a mile, that was a good performance by No Stopping. And he was beaten clearly by the bias and by a superior horse. He's lightly raced. I think he's only had about four starts. He's eligible. He's made in cleanliness. So you'll see No Stopping probably in a strong performance right away. He was entered the other day, but he was in the also eligible, so he didn't go out. Add No Stopping to your horses to watch list. Let's look at the next race, in which Vola and Sadie B. Fast both challenge the bias. Now, the winner of that race has to step up and face winners, which doesn't mean she can't do it, because she overcame the bias to do this race. The horse that's the consideration here, and it's too late to match it, is Sadie B. Fast. Now, if you lifted her from this race when it was current, put her on your horses to watch list, she comes back and pays $7 in her next start, wins easy, and earns an enormous figure for that level. She really ran a fast race. But that's why you would pull her. So now I would kind of look at when Vola runs against, or Vola, or however you runs against.
Vola.
Runs against.
Vola.
When it runs against winners, I don't care what they're called, I just bet them.
That's right.
When that runs against winners, that horse is going to have a big chance, because it beat the bias here, and it beat a horse that came back to win super in a maiden. Go to the seventh race now, the one at the top right. We're winding down. Good. The horse to watch out of this race, you tell me.
Bundle of Iron,
clearly. Bundle of Iron ran super in here. That racetrack just beat him late. Now, unfortunately, for anybody that was really trying to bet the horse, he was entered in the Farrell Jamoke race the other day. And based on the way that race was run and the way this horse came up, I would tell you now he would have won that for fun. I was anticipating betting him because he was not.